This week, we're going full frontal with Lucio Fulci's Don't Torture a Duckling. And in the news, we discuss the trailer for Ari Aster's new flick, Midsummer. Stick around and stay spooky, my dudes.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl. Monsters lurk and victims shiver. Thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of the Spooky Dudes podcast, where tonight we will be discussing the 1972 giallo flick from Lucio Fulci with a weird name, Don't Torture a Duckling. I got my boy Eric here. What's up, dude?
Howdy.
Eric's here. He's been a little under the weather, and we haven't recorded in a little while. Last week was a throwback Thursday Vitamin Geek style. Hope you guys enjoyed that blast from the past. I'm sorry for the background music during that episode, but, you know, it's nice to look back on the old stuff sometimes. Anyway, Eric, how you been, buddy, aside from being sick?
Sick. That's about it. I haven't been anything else. I've had the flu, so yeah, that's pretty much I've been bad.
You said
nothing positive.
You said you watched a bunch of movies though, right? Did you watch any good horror stuff?
Not a lot. Just random stuff that popped up on various streaming sites. Most of the time I'd start watching something and it would come background noise. Watch a lot of Roger Corman movies that I found on YouTube, like Galaxy of Terror, for example. Nice. Yeah, nothing to speak about. That's like, oh, that's interesting.
Corman's got good stuff, man. I mean, I enjoy a lot of his films.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I've watched much either. I started watching Terrifier again. Next week, Eric and I will actually be guesting on another podcast that our buddy Richard does. It's called Assignment Horror, and we got to pick the film. So we picked Terrifier, which usually on that show they cover old stuff, but he just told us to pick a movie he hadn't seen, and we wanted to watch Terrifier again. So,
well, it's old to us, so.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, but check out Terrifier on Netflix. It's a really fun, really brutal throwback slasher flick with Art the Clown, which we talked about in one of our former episodes about All Hallows Eve. Good times. So as far as news goes, I really just wanted to mention a couple of really cool trailers I'd seen lately. Eric and I talked about the Hereditary director, which is Ari Aster. He's got a new flick coming out called Midsummer. It's like a Scandinavian folk horror film, according to Bloody Disgusting. The trailer dropped for that, and it looks really creepy and, like, really confusing. I have no idea what's going on. I guess it reminds me mostly of Wicker Man, which I didn't love Wicker Man, but, I mean, I love Hereditary. And I'm really interested to see what he comes up with next, so I'm pretty stoked about it. What did you think of the trailer, dude?
It's probably not going to be for me. I'll give it a chance. I've watched Hereditary twice. First time, I'm like, yeah, it's okay. And my second watch through, I'm like, yeah, this ain't for me. I mean, I just don't really care about it, care for it. And watching that trailer is like, it's probably going to be the same thing for me. I mean, I'll give it a chance, but it looks like another cult movie that is probably going to have a weird, shocking twist ending. Maybe not a twist, but an ending like, oh, that's pretty shocking. We'll see. And I'm not excited for it per se, but I'll give it a chance.
Have you, it's coming out from A24. Have you watched a lot of the A24 stuff?
Not a lot of it.
Like, what was that? It's got a really weird name. Oh my gosh. It's about the guy and his wife and their kid, they live in a house and it's kind of like post-apocalyptic, and they, at night, they always board up the house and stuff. And
this, it comes at night.
Yeah, it comes at night.
I have seen that one. I actually do like that one.
Yeah, it's very different. It's not what you expect. That's what I liked about it. But that company, A24, it seems like they're willing to take risks with filmmaking and, you know, picking projects that they put out. And I like that. They may not all be, you know, The Shining, but I think they're putting out a lot of really interesting films. So I'm excited to see what they come up with next. The other trailer I watched was It Chapter 2. What'd you think of that trailer?
It looks interesting. I mean, I'm excited for it because I like the first version, part one edition. And, man, I'm curious what they'll do with the next. I mean, I really don't want to see spoilers if no one's read. Well, I'm not going to spoil it. There's actually people who actually don't know what the ending of the book is. There's a giant creature that I hope does not appear, but most likely it's going to. I just think it's kind of silly. But it looks cool. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I'm super down for It Chapter 2. I love the first one. I think it's so much better than the miniseries.
The miniseries, if you haven't watched the miniseries since the first time they watched when they were younger or anything, the miniseries you have of it, they are vastly different than what it actually is. It's as good as you think it is. It's mediocre at best. The best thing about it is Tim Curry's performance as Pennywise.
I think that's one of the only good things about it.
Pretty much. I mean, like, rewatching it now, I'm like, it's okay. And if you've read the books, there are certain things that happen in the books. I'm like, I'm really glad this never made it into the movie.
Yeah. I second that. That's all the news I got. I did enjoy the trailers for both films. I'm excited about seeing both of them and, you know, keep the horror stuff coming as long as it's good and original and fun. Yeah.
Oh, I did watch Us.
Oh, did you see it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jordan Peele movie.
Jordan Peele, yes, the second film of Us. Right before one of my coworkers decided to share a Death Virus with me, I managed to go to the theater and see it. It's not bad. I liked it a little more. I did get out. But it's a little more confusing. I think it may you have to think a little harder to watch as you can just kind of go with the flow and let the film pull you in. But it's not bad. I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't go into too much without spoiling anything. But yeah, I recommend if you like Get Out, I would recommend checking it out.
Sweet. Yeah, I really want to see it.
You're gonna miss some stuff though. It's one of those, like, it makes you you have to think about stuff more than you should. I think anyway.
I probably won't get to watch it till it comes out on Blu-ray. Because, you know, stuff's going on, man. Yeah, that's it for the news. Let's talk about the movie. Like I said before, it's the 1972 Italian giallo film directed by Lucio Fulci. It stars Florinda Balkan, Thomas Milian, and Barbara Boucher. Bobby Boucher? My mama said. Nikki, show me her boobies. Okay.
Also, anyone listening, if I apologize for the off, you hear a loud burst of coughing. I'm trying to control my cough.
You're all good, dude. Just natural. So anyway, this was my pick. I'm trying to watch a lot of.
Yeah. About torture a duck.
Man, you're roboting again. All right, so Don't Torture a Duckling was my pick for this week. It's kind of a murder mystery. It's a giallo, so it's got kind of the slasher / murder mystery vibe to it.
Well, before you go into describing,
yeah,
Don't Torture a Duckling, maybe some people listening might not actually know what a giallo, however you want to say it, yeah, film is. You want to give a description of giallo or the Italian genre?
Sure, yeah. So, just in short, giallo is an Italian subgenre of film, and literature too, I guess, but we're just going to talk about film tonight. According to the Wikipedia article here, Giallo refers specifically to a particular Italian thriller horror genre that has mystery or detective elements and often contains slasher, crime fiction, psychological thriller, psychological horror, sexploitation, and less frequently supernatural horror elements. So it's essentially like a murder mystery detective film plus a slasher thrown together.
Much more adult Scooby adventure, basically.
Yeah. With lots of blood, and in this case, not a lot of boobies, but there were some boobies.
And the blood is more, it looks like tomato sauce, most of that consistency.
Yeah, like that, the Chef Boyardee shit, like it's orange.
What's his name? Herschel.
Oh, Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Yeah, he had that type of blood he likes to use.
Yeah, the godfather of gore. Rest in peace, sir. yeah, so this is my pick. Essentially, the movie, it opens on a very weird scene. We kind of don't understand what's going on. There's a lady digging up a skeleton of a baby, and her hands are bleeding. And then there's a shot of a kid with a slingshot, and he's shooting a rock at a lizard and watching a car go under a bridge. And then we find out him and his friends are trying to chase this car down because it's got prostitutes in it. Because, of course, these teenage boys want to watch people have sex, interestingly enough.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, back then, nobody, the internet wasn't a thing, so you do what you can. I wasn't the impression they were prostitutes either. I thought they were just like, hey, we're going to go have some fun. But until later on, they actually say, you want to watch it to pay.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the boys, I guess him and his mom are like, live in servants for this really rich lady. And there's a very interesting scene where the boy takes some orange juice to this lady and she is completely naked and basically comes on to the boy. And then when his mom, she hears his mom
phrasing there, buddy.
Okay. She basically asks him if he's ever done it. He says, oh yeah, lots of times. And she's like, yeah, right. If you just said once or twice, I'd believe you. But you know,
basically the scene from The Graduate.
But with like an 11, like a maybe 10 or 11 year old kid.
And full nude.
Full nude.
No, half nude. It's much more uncomfortable.
No, she's not wearing anything, dude.
Really?
Yeah, it's full. And let's just, I don't want to be like misogynist podcast number 1,000, but like.
You won't. There's plenty more ahead of us.
This lady is played by an actress named Barbara Boucher. I guess Boucher. Bobby Boucher. And she is just super gorgeous. Like, stunning in this film. I'm not going to say that about every movie with every woman in it, but she's a knockout.
She's described in the synopsis as, every synopsis I say about it, as a former heroin drug addict.
Yeah, she had a subplot of her having a drug problem.
But it's never really like really trying to drive home that fact. It's just like did some things in another town. Now she's living in this house in this weird town that everyone kind of talks to everybody.
There is some weird thing where she like says she drives around at night doing stuff she's not supposed to. And it doesn't really go into particulars of what that is.
She's considered the odd duck of the town. Everyone else is really what would you say? Quiet town. Don't do anything. She's the wild child.
Yeah, she's kind of the odd duck. Yeah, we keep using duckling and duck terms.
Yeah, we're gonna do the recipes later on, so stay tuned.
Duck terms. Ooh-hoo. Yeah. Well. Okay. So essentially, these three boys that we're introduced to in the very beginning of the movie start getting killed off one by one, and there's some twists and turns in this thing. It's kind of all over the place. What a twist. And then what another twist. What'd you think of this movie overall, Eric?
I looked up a lot of stuff about this. I've actually seen this before. This is my second viewing. I first watched this a long time ago when I first got into Giallo films. Mm-hmm. Thank you, bring back the old days of the video store. A video store attendant named Harold, he introduced me. He knew I liked watching horror films, science fiction, and I always went to a specific section. And the foreign film section was next door, the next aisle over. He told me I should go look in there because I didn't know about Italian horror or any of the kind of stuff. And then that's when he introduced this type of stuff. Anyway, long story short, it's okay. It's, I mean, I've seen a lot of people call this the, you know, Fulci. It's like a masterpiece from Fulci. I'm like, I think he's done better ones. I mean, it's an okay one. I would say this is a good stepping stone if you want to, you know, get into giallo films and see other ones like it. But it's an average murder mystery, whodunit type stuff, the way they work, and it's done really well. It looks really nice. Pretty great cinematography. They really focus on this giant bridge that goes to this town. I'm assuming this bridge was just built. I don't really think they say it, but I'm assuming because how much they keep focusing on this giant bridge. Because a lot of stuff takes place near the bridge or next to it. But it's not bad. The one thing about it's giallo films, the music is always overpowering in everything, or the sound, just like a random spike sounds. You notice that a lot of
time. Yeah. It'll either have this real soothing, like, you know, almost like porno music.
And yeah, but not like it. Yeah. Out of nowhere.
Like, especially whenever there's a dead body or something, they zoom in on the gore.
Yeah.
I guess it's meant
to be more shocking.
Yeah. Just trying, you know, like people use music to build up suspense. The Italians use it to just like jump scare you, I guess.
It's, I mean, although the scenes of some of the townspeople, some violent reaction from the townspeople, the way that, you know, towards the suspect of all the murder cases for the, of the, no, the base of the murder people, the victims are the small, the three boys. No, there's more than three, isn't there? Four?
No, there's three boys that get killed.
But, I mean, it's pretty standard. I mean, it's, I don't really think I ever want to watch it again. Two is definitely enough for me. But what about you? I mean,
I'm in that boat with you. I mean, I think it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. Honestly, it kept me on the edge of my seat because there's about three pretty serious swerves in this movie. Like there's three times when you're going to be watching this and you'll be like, I know who did it. And then you're not going to be right until the third time. So, and we don't have to go into all that. We don't have to spoil it. It is an old movie, but you know, still a lot of people haven't seen it. This thing's on Amazon Prime. If you guys want to watch it, by the way, I don't think I mentioned that.
Some of the choices of it don't like, okay. Like for example, the, I forget her name, Barbara Bush, whatever, not Barbara Bush.
Bush. Barbara Boucher.
Bush, yeah. Apologies if she's still around, butchering your name.
She's still around.
Her character, who is supposedly a former drug addict, you know, who gets her jollies from sexually taunting these small children. The whole idea of that, it just kind of goes nowhere, and then she turns into kind of the Scooby gang trying to find the killer. With this random reporter that pops up, it's someone who's kind of like, this is a little ridiculous, but I see where they're going with it.
Yeah, the reporter's like the moral compass of the movie, basically.
Yeah.
It is weird. Like especially if you're not used to Italian cinema, there are Lucio Fulci movies. There are some like House by the Cemetery and the Beyond. They're pretty gory. Zombies pretty gory. This one, it has a couple scenes of gore and they're kind of extreme as far as like the level of violence. Well, the graveyard where the mob kind of comes together and
yeah. So
that felt brutal.
At one point in the film, the fathers of the three boys, they think they have found the killer and they meet this person in a graveyard. Which is just a woman who apparently she's the local town witch, is where everybody calls her a witch. And that's probably one of the highlights of the film for me, because it has a certain kind of a standard pace of the giallo film. I mean, some are better, but when it gets to that, it's like, whoa, okay. It makes you like, that's out of nowhere. Because like, they beat the crap out of her and with like savage stuff, chains and pipes and stuff. It's a very disturbing scene to watch. It's probably one of the most disturbing scenes to watch in the whole movie.
Oh yeah. I think it is for sure. Yeah. And the music, did you notice the music that was playing during that?
Not really. It's cause the music is always just kind of overpowering in these films. So you gotta really focus.
It's like Italian pop radio music or like smooth jazz or something. It's really weird.
Well, I thought, like, is there a car radio or somewhere somebody's playing? It sounded like a car radio station playing.
I think that's how it's supposed to be.
But this is a graveyard where there's no vehicles around. And these people just show up out of nowhere, no vehicles. So it kind of makes no sense.
Movie magic.
I guess.
Welcome to Hollywood, dog.
And a lot of these films are in subtitles, too. So if you're not a fan of subtitles, you might not be able to get into these. For me, it's no problem for me because I've watched it like this for years.
Yeah, you get used to it. It's not bad. This movie's a little dialogue heavy in parts, so you might have to read really fast. But some of the movies aren't too bad. Was there any favorite scenes? I mean, besides the graveyard?
I had two others. The graveyard is probably the high point because of how disturbing it is to watch. And it's probably the most, like, it's the first scene that really, like, changes the mood overall of the movie.
Yeah.
The second is the scene where the small boy brings the lemons to the girl sunbathing in a room naked. Because I remember when I first watched this, it made me, I was like, because I was younger, I was a younger man then. And I'm like, oh man, boobs. And now as an adult, I'm like, this is wrong to watch. You know, that mindset.
Yeah.
And it just made me giggle because it's like, it's funny how your mood, your feelings change as you age. Like as when you're a young adolescent, I'm like, hee hee. Now you're like, I'm going to jail for watching this. And the second was, it's one of the kills of the small boys. It's not the actual act of him killing. It's the body they find. It's the boy that was drowned in a little tub or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a fountain or something outside.
Yeah, and it just made me cackle because the expression on his face, really just it looked like a mannequin almost. I mean, I'm sure it was, but I don't know. It just made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, the body looks super fake, like super duper fake. Yeah, that part was kind of silly. Yeah, I think the movie's the suspense is probably my favorite thing about the movie because it's one thing it does really well. Like I just there's something that's lost in translation. I think when you're dealing with the subtitles, so some of the details I missed out on, and I had to kind of rewind it a few times. Because this movie is windy, guys. Like, I'm not exaggerating when I say this movie has a bunch of plot twists, because it does. And they're not terrible. Like, it's not, you know, one of those M. Night Shyamalan movies where you're just like, yeah, this is fine, and then there's a twist that you don't like.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of twists to it, and honestly, I think they're fine.
It's just, it's funny, because this movie, you have a beautiful woman who's potentially a pedophile. And you've got some bratty Italian kids who's just walk around the village smoke, and you see their murder. I don't think, do you see all their murders?
No.
I don't think you see it on screen. I think you see one of them.
You see one of them get hit.
Kind of slot-handed.
Yeah.
There's no distinct hero in this movie, though. That's the thing. And besides the extended and kind of graphic beating of the woman in the cemetery, which is that music, it's supposed to be sad music. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
it's meant to justify their actions. So.
Well, you can kind of, you know, you can understand because their sons were killed.
True, but they just automatically assume it's this woman.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to beat the dead horse by talking about the scene with the naked lady, but I mean, she pours orange juice down her chest, like it's.
Like that, did you?
It's over the top, man. It's very over the top.
Have you ever seen a naked woman?
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that scene in The Graduate with oh man. Help me up with the actors' names. I'm having a brain fart.
Oh, Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman, yes.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to seduce me, Mrs.
Robinson?
Robinson. It's just funny. The thing is that stuff like that, I've seen much foreign films with a lot more graphic type stuff than that.
Oh yeah.
Nowadays, and like that's nothing compared to what that they show now. That's not a good thing.
No. I mean it's just it's weird, you know. A lady that age coming onto a kid that young is kind of strange. But it's, you know, whatever. I don't think that would fly now. Like in a movie, unless it was like a cautionary tale or something, or some kind of art house film where they're like, kids, don't fall in love with women that are 30 years your senior, or something like that. Yeah. How much do we need to talk about the ending? Like,
well, let's not get into it because, and then again, people might not have seen this, but again, this is at its core, it's a giallo film that is basically a murder mystery whodunit with aspects of other horror films. There is a better ones than this one. The ending I've seen this, I'm like, oh, but when you find out, it's that's why I joke around and say it's kind of a Scooby adventure because it's like they pull the bag off the killer's face, like, oh, it's him, and then you find out the reason, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that works.
And the way they show you the methodology that the killer used, like the way the killer thought, is crazy. Like the ending is kind of nuts. Special effects wise, for sure.
Oh man, yeah, it's very humorous for sure. If you think the boy's body in the pond or what the little pool is funny, just wait. But yeah, I don't really want to. We also don't want to spoil the ending.
Nah.
But since we're talking about main giallo films in general,
yeah,
like I said before, I think this is a good stepping stone for people who want to get into this subgenre because also giallo is it's hard to describe this genre. Also, giallo is Italian for yellow. By the way, because of the literary murder mystery books have yellow covers.
That's kind of cool.
I forget the name of those books.
What, like pulp books?
Is that what they were called? The murder mystery type books. They had yellow line the cover and front covers and backs.
I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, you know, it's kind of like the old pulp stories, the old murder mysteries, yeah, the old crime, detective
crime mystery pulp novels.
Yeah, they're kind of printed on shitty paper and it's pulpy and not exactly white.
Yeah,
yeah.
But my point being, it's like, what would you if you could pick three films that you would suggest as like another stepping stones to add to this to get into genre? Not and honestly, it don't have to be Fulci because again, I'm sick. Excuse me. Jesus. When Fulci's name is attached to this, a lot of people that hear Fulci, like, it's Fulci. It must be really good. I'm like, yeah, it's true. But there's other things he's done that I think are better. I'm always get this one wrong. It's the alligator woman.
The girl in the lizard skin?
Yes, the girl in the lizard skin. That's one of my favorite ones he's done. But if you had to pick three, excuse me, what would you pick for other people to check out or get into?
If you like nudity a lot, I would say Slaughter Hotel. Mario Bava's Bay of Blood is pretty good. It's a lot more slashery than this one. And I haven't seen all of this one yet, but I'm going to go with the New York Ripper. That's another Lucio Fulci, and I want to see it. There's a new Blu-ray out of it from Blue Underground. I really want to see that. And the cover looks awesome. And I think it's a little more brutal than Don't Torture a Duckling.
It is. That's actually one I was going to recommend. That's that one. The girl in the outer... Oh my gosh. What was it again? The girl in the outer skin?
Yes. Wait.
A lizard in a woman's skin.
That's excuse it. Yeah.
I get that wrong every time.
It's a weird name.
But those are two other Fulci films. I believe Lizard in Woman's Skin is 70s, and I can't remember when the other one is.
71 for Lizard.
But another one, which is one of my favorites, and it was my actual introduction into the giallo genre, Blood and Black Lace, Mario Bravo, or Bava. It's a 60s, mid-60s film. It's also known as The Fashion of the House of Death. You ever heard of that or seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that one. It is good. So, I mean, you got Bava and Fulci kind of two of the biggest, you know, purveyors of the giallo genre.
Yeah. And there's quite a few more directors, really good ones too. But for stepping stones in this genre, that's where somewhere I would recommend. And Don't Torture Duckling too. It's also a good introduction to it. Especially if you've never watched any of this kind of stuff. Do you like Hitchcock? Is also another one. I think that's it. It's Dario Argento.
Yeah, Argento, I was going to mention him too. He's got quite a few as well. And he's probably more famous for like Suspiria.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, which I don't think Suspiria counts as a giallo, a classic giallo.
it's got elements of it, but it wouldn't. I wouldn't call it a standard one.
Yeah, it's movie's wackadoo. It's crazy.
The remake of reimagining, of Suspiria, it's now on Amazon Prime.
Wikipedia lists Raising Cain as his yellow. Hmm. Interesting.
I could see that.
I have not seen that movie in years.
I don't have the wiki pulled up. Is there one listed very current, like Deep Blood, what's it called? Deep something.
Deep Came Red? Out,
that's it.
Yeah, Profondo Rosso. It's Dario Argento.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about it. I'd like to check it out. But yeah.
That one will be coming up on the show pretty soon, too. Spoilers.
Giallo is an interesting genre, and it's Italian horror in general. It's just, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff. It definitely is a hit or miss. I mean, but they all kind of follow the same formula, and a lot of the color palettes match.
Especially Argento movies.
Oh, yeah.
He's all about just flashing in just bright reds and blues.
I think Fulci uses more earthy tones.
Yeah, I'm not sure Fulci has as much of an aesthetic as Argento, because I think a lot of Fulci's movies look different. You look at House by the Cemetery versus The Beyond, they don't look super different, but you look at those versus Don't Torture a Duckling or New York Ripper or something like that, they look very different. So I think that guy just... He just made movies, man. You know, he's just kind of all over. I'm no expert. I haven't even seen half of his film library because it's just so much stuff.
Yeah, he has an impressive library. You probably haven't seen this one, but I'll let you give the synopsis for this film.
Let's see. The Exorcist, 1972.
You need to read that again.
The Eroticist, 1972. Senator Pupus feels a strong and uncontrollable urge to grab women's bottoms, a habit that can lead to embarrassment, especially if the woman in question is head of another state and they occasion a state visit. This is not written super well. In his desperation, Pupus turns to the clergy for spiritual and psychological help.
Yep, they don't make them like that anymore, kids.
What is this?
It's one of Fulci's films.
Is it porn?
I have no idea, but it's a poster that always pops up when you look at Fulci. It's just a woman just turning around with a man hand up her dress, grabbing her ass. It's just funny. It looks like a porn. I don't know. I've never seen it. I have no desire to see it. But anytime I look up anything Fulci, it always pops up in the search.
Oh, man, that's great. This is an awesome picture.
But
looks like Severin put that on Blu-ray. Speaking of which, I didn't mention this in the news before. Severin's having a big sale, much like the one Vinegar Syndrome is having next week. Basically, everything on the site's going to be 50% off, free shipping over a certain amount. I mean, Severin and Vinegar Syndrome are just doing awesome work with exploitation cinema. If you guys want physical copies of, and just the most beautiful transfers, with great special features. If you want that, check out Severin and also Vinegar Syndrome in the next couple weeks. Get some movies. Yeah, I do. I kind of want to watch that movie now, though. This weird priest grabbing asses. Yeah.
It's a good family film, you know, just bring the whole family down. Like,
hey, guys, it's movie night. Ready? Got the Eroticist here. Not the Exorcist.
You will see quite a few Italian films in the same vein as that. But Italian horror, it's a little more, you know.
It says it's an R-rated comedy.
Yeah, it's not a horror film.
Which means we won't be covering it on this show, guys. So I guess you'll have to live in mystery about that.
That is true. But if you have anything else to say about Don't Torture a Duckling or Giallo, we can say we're going to talk about it next week.
Yeah. Tell us, man.
High on the Hog, has a Pack It Tight.
Pack It Tight with Sid Haig, Ellie Church, Joe Estevez, Robert Zadar, rest in peace. Our buddy Tony Walsh. Huh?
He isn't. I forgot Robert Zadar.
I think it's maybe his last movie.
You know, there's a joke from Mr. Science Theater. The movie is Soul Taker. has him in it, and Jeb Roberts' star, and Joe Estevez in it. It's really a ridiculous movie, and it's hilarious. You watch the Mystery Science Theater version. But as soon as Robert Zadar comes on the screen, the first thing he says is, man, that guy's got a small face. Cracks me up every damn time.
The chin that people remember. I don't know.
I remember him best from Maniac Cop. It's one of my favorite slasher films. It's very low budget, but still it's entertaining.
There's a good chance that will come up pretty soon on the show, too.
But High of the Hog is brought to us by
Tony Wash.
Yep.
Our good friend Tony Wash wrote and directed that movie.
He did Skeletons in the Closet, which we did a few weeks ago, or months ago, excuse me.
And it made both of our top five for 2018 lists, so.
Wow, a year ago, I was way off.
We both really enjoyed that movie. Yeah, guys, if you want to check out High on the Hog and watch that with us, I think it's $10 on iTunes.
Or you can rent it Amazon for like $5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Let me check again.
I might have to do that in addition to the iTunes that I bought.
Maybe it's to buy it for $10.
Because it's $4.99 to rent, $9.99 to buy. That's in HD. I should have bought it on Amazon. That way I could watch it on my TV. Damn it.
You can watch iTunes movies on your TV.
You had to have an iTV or whatever.
Do you have it saved on your phone?
Yeah.
They make it. There's a little cable you can buy that you can plug an HDMI up to. We'll talk about that after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's ways to get around that.
But anyway, yeah, like Eric said, guys, if you want to watch High on the Hog, it's $10 on Amazon Prime. It's $10 on iTunes. Support indie genre film. Tony's a good dude. Well, I'm sure we'll have him back on the show pretty soon, too, after we do High on the Hog. Pack it tight, and we'll probably talk about weed.
True.
Because that's what the movie's about.
It's a good segue. We went from Italian horror with slot child pedophilia to weed. Just ticking all the boxes.
Tick, tick, boom. Remember that song?
Tick, tick, boom.
Click, click, boom. Coming down on the stereo. Hit me on the radio.
No, I remember Boom Goes the Dynamite.
No, it's that Saliva band.
All I Want to Do is a dance.
No, that's, oh my God. That's that girl.
Dance in the Rain, Ching Ching. What, I can't remember the damn song.
MIA, that's who that is. That's MIA. Yeah. All right, I just bought High on the Hog again.
Man, just keep giving the support.
Support indie cinema, guys.
And hopefully my brain will not be MIA when we review this. Again, I apologize if I sound weird or I cough too loud to you guys. I'm just recovering from the near-death virus.
We're going to get him back. We're gonna get him back to life. We're going to pack it tight. We're going to get High on the Hog with Sid Haig. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention? Sales coming up or events? Or I'm being serious.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
You know more than I do, because I've been kind of out of the loop since I've been out of the weather.
We'll be posting about the Assignment Horror podcast. I hope you guys will check it out. It's a good show. I've been listening to a lot of episodes of it lately, and I think it's neat. I think it'll be neat to have us on there with Richard and the other co-hosts. The premise of the show, just really quick, is basically Richard loves horror movies, but he hasn't seen a bunch. So they assign him a horror movie to watch, and then he kind of grades the horror movie, and they just discuss it kind of like we do. They go through specific scenes and the plot and everything else and kind of review it. But
you think he's seen Henry?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that they've covered. I think they've covered Henry. I'm 99% sure he's seen it.
Speaking of good shows, so The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob has 2 weeks left for the season one.
Yeah,
last week, they not this past week, a week ago. Yeah, I think I'm a week ahead. Anyway, but Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, was one of the things they showed, and I was like, man, I never thought I would see that stream on any kind of network or streaming services. Like, it's still an X-rated film to this day.
Yeah, Henry's great.
Oh yeah, I love Henry. it's still unnerving to this day. I still think it puts a lot of modern horror movies to shame.
It's awesome. I don't see that they've covered Henry, but I'm pretty sure he's seen it.
Oh, I'll just have to ask him. Just curious.
Yeah, but guys, check it out. Spooky Dudes are going to be invading the Assignment Horror Podcast next week. I'm not sure when it'll actually publish because I think they record in advance, like we do sometimes when we can. I think they put a lot of stuff in the can before they release it. So we will keep you posted on when that comes out.
But once we come back to our neck of the woods, we will pack it tight and take a round high on the hog.
Yeah.
And if you're curious why we keep saying pack it tight, just look up hashtag pack it tight and that should answer your question.
I will be isolating that audio this weekend just for you. Whenever Eric calls me, he's going to say pack it tight. Pack it tight.
Yep. It's a good thing that when you're like you're near Chuck E. Cheese or whatever and call you like pack it tight.
Oh man. All right. Let's put a pin in this one. Guys, check us out on social media, Facebook, in the Instagram. We don't do a lot on Twitter, so don't worry about that. You can follow us on there if you want, but there's not a lot of content going down. Please, if you dig the show or don't dig the show, either way, give us a review on iTunes. That would be awesome. If we get a bunch of reviews on iTunes, we can get to the front page of iTunes. And if that happens, then a lot of people will see our super sweet logo and check out the show. And we would really appreciate the exposure.
Maybe I could entice people.
Ooh, how are you going to do that?
I'm just going to say my birthday is in a few weeks. And it'd be really nice if we could get at least 10 reviews or on iTunes.
Can you guys... Yeah, it's true, by the way. He's not making that shit up. Do you think you guys could come through for Eric's birthday? All you got, it doesn't even cost you money. It really doesn't cost you much time. All you got to do is go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. You don't even have to say the show's great. Just say happy birthday, Eric. That could be your review. 5 stars and happy birthday, Eric. That's all you have to do. And you know what else you can do, guys? If you have a social media account and you see us post a new episode, hit the share button because, you know, you like the show and you like your friends. And who's to say that your friends wouldn't like our show?
Yeah. So spam the shit out of them. We really appreciate it.
That would be awesome.
Just kidding about that.
I mean, you don't have to spam them. Just, you know, share every once in a while. Like Richard shares, I think about every episode post we put up.
But all you do, listen, we do appreciate it. And, everyone who interacts with us, we do appreciate it too. And also, if you are into Italian horror, I'd recommend some other films that we may not have seen. We might check them out, maybe on the show, who knows. Or if you've checked out anything we recommend, let us know what you think. Or if you watched Don't Torture a Duckling.
Don't Torture a Duckling. Yep.
Yeah, if you watch it, let us know what you think, your thoughts.
Yeah.
Was you uncomfortable with the orange juice poured on a woman's chest or, you know?
I was comfortable with it, just not comfortable with a kid watching it. And guys, let us know, you know, real talk. Do you want us to cover Necromantic 1 and 2? About Necromantic?
I'm putting a pin in that right now. No, we're not watching that nonsense.
Double feature Necromantic. Check it out.
Double feature about people who have sex with corpses.
Yes.
There's an actual magazine you can subscribe to if you want to see that.
Girls and Corpses?
Yep.
Sid Haig's been in that magazine. So is Bill Moseley. I think it's about time to put it up. All right, Eric, thank you.
And, see you guys next week or next time.
We will be back with High on the Hog, Pack It Tight. Stay spooky, my dudes.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants. They love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep, yeah.